Once I was a soldier, and I fought on foreign sands for you. Once I was a hunter, and I brought home fresh meat for you. Once I was a lover, I searched behind your eyes for you. Soon there'll be another to tell you I was just a lie. And sometimes I wonder just for.
Tim Buckley, Once I Was, from his album Goodbye and Hello. Tim Buckley. Yeah. Before that, Terry Riley with Chet Baker from Music for the Gift. We heard parts 1 through 4. Music for the Gift. Terry Riley with Chet Baker. Amazing combination, actually. And Jairus Sharif from his album Basis in Unity. We heard Bear Witness. That's it for me. I got to make room for Miracle Nutrition coming up momentarily. You are tuned to Freeform Radio, WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope in New York City and Rockland County at 91.9 FM and online at WFMU.org. I'm Fabio. I'll be back next week. Stay tuned for Miracle Nutrition coming up in mere seconds.
With Hardy White. I'm Hardy White. Join me now, won't you, as we just be together. As we have an excuse to be together. Well, that's all that matters. And then something will happen just based on the ingredients. We'll throw them together in a bowl and cook them, and we'll be a cake. A beautiful cake in the rain. Well, hello, everybody, and Shemp Jive.
Shemp Jive.
It's so good to be together. It's great to be a Dogarian.
Woof, woof.
The dog and cow are friends.
Woof, moo.
Woof, moo. Very. Very good. Oh, it's so lovely to be together, friends, and see you all here at our Dogarian service station, which we've moved outside because nature is lovely and inspires us. And any excuse to get together, well, that's our religion. Our thing here that we have is just an excuse to get together. It's not a belief system because no two of us may believe the same thing. We haven't had the same experiences. We don't have the same brains. But we do have a desire to be together and contribute something of ourselves and to give and to take and to help and to be helped. And it's nice to have familiar faces to do that with. And it's good to share our experiences. And then we'll have something in common. And we can go, hey, you remember when blah, blah, blah? You remember when blah, I know y'all remember when blah, blah, blah. So we all have things that we, ideas that we share, our values, and some of them we all agree on. We'd all love to be good to one another and show patience and compassion. And then there's things more idiosyncratic, like Butchie suggests that we bathe.
Yeah, I like it better if you don't stink.
Well, which is a good suggestion. So we try to keep clean and respectful for others. And so we've incorporated that into our thing here, our Dogarianism. So we're always taking suggestions, and people can always speak up. And Don.
Yes, question.
Go ahead, Don.
I have noticed on visits to Jim Varney's grave in Lexington, Kentucky, in the Lexington Cemetery.
Jim Varney, the late actor, comic actor?
Yes. Yes, I'm sorry. Not the other Jim Varney. But this one, yes, everyone might know this one from the Ernest movies. And his grave is there, and people bring things to put on it that remind them of Jim. So there'll be a toy of a character he did in Toy Story, or some jeans, I don't know, and some mellow yellow cans. All right. I was thinking that it's a beautiful thing to make an offering, and lots of humans have done that for eons. And I was wondering if I couldn't just bring up something that I value and put it up there in front as a sort of offering. Oh, all right, what were you thinking about? Well, I know it sounds crazy, but it's something that is of value to me, and that is toaster pastries.
No, object, it'll draw ants.
No, I wouldn't take them out of the package, Butchie. I'd put a whole box of toaster pastries there as an offering. As a way of saying, this is something that I value more than my breakfast snack, is your fellowship and your love and affection.
Oh, I think that's a lovely idea. Yeah, come on and do that.
I don't have them on me.
All right, well, it's whenever you do, you can do that. And it'll be an expression of your affection for us and your devotion to our mutual value.
So I think that is really beautiful, Don. Is that while we're all talking about this, is there anybody else who has an idea of something that they would like to do to sort of express them themselves?
Yeah, I got an idea. I was thinking we could have, like, paper stuff. Paper junk that we could put on junk.
What do you mean?
Like, you know those paper chains that kids make? Stuff like that. It looks nice, and it's temporary. We wouldn't have to leave it there. And if it got, irritating, you just rip it down. Like, let's say kids make it, and they make it really poorly, and it's ugly. And you say, oh, whoops, I ripped it.
Okay. And it also, I guess, helps us with the when you make paper things, to understand the transient nature of things and the beauty in the ephemeral.
Mono no aware.
Yes, there's a word for it, or words for it. And that, very good, thank you. And it's a good reminder. What other things are temporary and can remind us that things don't last? Lou?
Yeah. Remember that song, MacArthur Park?
I think so.
Well, it's about like how somebody left a cake out in the rain.
All right.
I was wondering if the next time it rains, we could put a cake out. It's a symbol.
Okay, yeah, I guess.
I'm not wasting a cake.
Well, you guys can work that out, but sure, there's anything like that. Here's the thing. If we do it and it catches on, it's our thing. If a couple people do it and it doesn't catch on, it's just their thing. So we don't have to make everybody do a thing. If you start offering toaster pastries, then maybe other people do the same or bring up some kind of cookie they like or something like that.
It's got to be wrapped. I insist.
Okay, it should be wrapped. I'm with Butchie because it get ants or other bugs. And you could bring those things up or objects, and then we'll see we'll go from there. We already do the inspiring stories. I love that. Anybody can get up and say something that's happened to them and some lesson they've learned. And it doesn't have to be consistent, and you don't have to credit Dahlgarianism, and you don't even have to say Shemp Jive.
Shemp Jive!
It's just that we say it because we enjoy it. We like saying it. And it's come to mean something for us, even though I guess essentially it's meaningless. But what it means is that we all have been together and had shared experiences. So if you've been coming to the service station and listening to all this, there are certain things that you recognize, and other people who have been there too would recognize it. And it's a way of connecting ourselves. And there's nothing particularly deep to it, except it's the most profound thing there is. That shared experience
Oh, my goodness. Did you ever think, hear someone say, I need a reality check? And you think, well, is that some kind of monetary thing? I will have a reality temporary checks. And so I don't know if my bank's going to take it. There's going to be a hold on reality because I just have those temporary checks. But once I get my address, once I know where I am, I can then check my reality with others and say, oh, friend, is your heart heavy because you witnessed something sad? And you say, yes, you saw that video online where a dog gets hurt or something. It's like, yes, I saw that. I'm traumatized. That's wrong, right? And so, yes, that's wrong. And then we check that so you don't feel like I've gone insane and cruelty is the norm. Or no. Oh, my friends, that's why it's... here's an important lesson I want to deliver today. Now, among us, let's say we were all to get together. Everybody was hearing me. And we were all to be sort of a group and hear from everyone. There's going to be, among that group, things that you consider unbearably embarrassing or cringy, as they say now. I'm saying it now, because the cringe is a real word. But there's you can be embarrassed and go, oh, this is silly, this is trite. Let's say someone stands up and say, oh, my heart's full of joy. I want to sing an improvisational joy song. Joy, 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 like that. And you go, oh, good God. God is not good. That's not good, you're thinking. And you see the person's is working for them, but are they embarrassing themselves? Oh, it's you who's embarrassed. And that just means you think, if I were to show some part of myself that I don't feel fully in control of, let's say it's happiness or something more, something sadder. I don't want to show my sadness. It'll look like weakness. And I don't want to show my joy. It'll look like insanity. And so you hold it back a little bit. But you know what? I don't think it's bad for people to roll your eyes while they're doing it. While you're standing up in front of us and they go, oh, Lord, as long as you come back next week, you can have whatever reaction you want, because the point is that you don't have to agree with somebody else's expression of their Dargarian values. All you have to do is agree to be there and have shared experiences and look them in the eye enough. And that's how we do it, and that's how we care about one another. Oh, my goodness, I can go far and wide. Someone sees me, they might yell hearty white, like I told you Eric did at the Shinjuku station. And we're all together. And I love that feeling. Say, hey, a friend, in the face of one of the largest crowds I've been in, there's a friend. And we are linked by shared experience. And there's nothing better. You know, it's... wonderful to be in these together like this outside and all kind of maybe closer than some of us want to be. But you've all bathed as per Butch's request, or you've perfumed yourself.
Nothing particularly strong or cheap.
Yeah, and that's and if you do, okay, you know, we'll deal with it. Let's say one of our meetings here, someone comes and they have too much Axe body spray. Now, the Axe body spray in itself is not a bad thing. It is quantity and context. If you've sprayed too much on yourself, it might have the opposite reaction of what you'd like to have.
the silage might be a little too broad, and it might be a little strong, and smells affect us deeply, don't they? You know, in tradition of the Japanese tea ceremony, in the tradition of Ikebana, the Japanese flower arranging, there is a little known but once popular ceremony called Kodo. Now, Kodo is literally the kanji are listening to incense. Not smelling incense, but listening to incense, and it is an incense ceremony where you smell of it. And a host sits there, and they have some agar wood or one of those rare pungent things that appears in all the best perfumes, and it heats on a censer, and you smell of it, and you play little games too. You say, that smell was called going to Mayberry. And then the next smell is called meeting Sheriff Andy. And then the third smell is called Aunt Bee cooks for you, or something like that. And then you try to guess them all. And then that fun, smelly guessy games, listening to incense. And I don't know what the origin of it is exactly. I think it's Chinese, and I think it comes from the idea that the Buddha's words are fragrant. So you smell the words and you listen to the smells, like synesthesia, isn't it? Well, I want you to think of this service here and my sermon today as not really smelling, but a smell listen. So it doesn't really, I can't say that Hardy White stinks, because I'm going to be terribly honest with you, I can't smell him over the radio. So I can only say there's some kind of stink sound or something, or how the sound affects me. And I can describe that poetically. Oh, it's wonderful to be creative. It opens up many avenues in your heart. You can look in yourself and say, I didn't know that thing was possible in me. So you have a little mind palace, and there's a little door there, and you think, but I think that door has been wallpapered over, but the knob is sticking out. Either there's some sort of carbuncle on the wall, or they've wallpapered over an entire door. And by they, I mean me, because it's my mind palace, and I wonder what room this opens up. And then I have some kind of experience that I've never had before. And I allow myself to be a little bit vulnerable, or say, you know what? I'm going to stop being embarrassed, and I'm going to become an explorer. I'm going to become intrepid. I'm not even sure what that means. But I'm going to journey, and I'm going to learn. And maybe I'll discover things in myself that I didn't know were there, like this thing. And I open it up, and what is it? Oh, it's just the closet. But that's more memory. I can put stuff in it. I didn't realize that I was open to learning new things at this age. But you're never too old to learn. And it's just that you won't know it for very long. So I say, oh, you know, I'm learning to be a doctor. And I'm going to probably drop dead when they give me my diploma. There is a reluctance to educate some older people in things that take a very long time. Like they would not let you into medical school after a certain age, which is hilarious because I know a young person that died the day after they graduated medical school. The length of your life is not promised. You don't get a fixed number of years or something, do you? I don't think so. And the short life and the long life are both 100% of a life, and we have to make the time together here not have that suffering stink on it. Oh my goodness, you know, the things that the earth does to us, we don't have to do to one another. You don't have to be an earthquake to someone. You don't have to spew lava on them like a volcano, because a volcano will do blah, blah, blah.
You don't have to be a tornado. There are tornadoes. You don't have to be a flood. Floods exist. What you should be is a raft. What you should be is an underground shelter. What you should be... What were the other disasters I listed?
Volcano.
Volcano play... helicopter. Do you follow me? And you would if I dropped down a rope ladder off my helicopter. And then you'd hang there like Tom Cruise. Tom Cruise, I'd heard this. I don't know if this is true. You'd think like he flies first class. You say, my gosh, that guy with that much money flies first class. But he doesn't. He flies hanging on to the wing or hanging on to something on the side of the plane. And that's just how he commutes. So, oh, I got that. Boy, that New York to L.A. one is a bear, but I just strap my wrist on. I don't think he uses his full grip, to be honest. And when they get it 30,000 feet, I think he perishes each time. But, my gosh, what a resilient guy Tom is. And poof, back from the dead he comes, lands, cut him down, on his way to a meeting. And the whole time he's networking and doing things while he's on the side of the plane. And remarkable person. I wish I was less like that. And I'm not like that at all, but I would love it to be 100% not like that. I don't really want to take risks so much. Not what I think are unnecessary ones. Since, like I said, you know, why go looking for trouble? Trouble's a wonderful player of hide and seek. Trouble will find you, just like on the Bad Boys. Bad Boys, what you gonna do? What you gonna do? Hide under a canoe. I see you. Ooh, your foot is sticking out. You can't hide. So that's a come for you. I don't want to be reggae. I've done that before. I start doing a parody song and I go, oh no, I'm doing reggae or something. But then I don't care because I think, well, bad on me. And I'll just be an example to others. Say, so look at me. Go ahead and take it out on me. That'll be fine. Here's the wonderful thing. Here's my lesson. Part of my lesson just occurred to me. You can be the goat if you agree to be the scapegoat. So that's a wonderful. And the scape, what can it be? A landscape, a cityscape, an audioscape. And I would love to be the audio scapegoat, the greatest of all time. I am not the greatest broadcaster of all time. I think there's a 10,000-way tie, and I'm not in there. But I am a broadcaster, technically, even though I don't think they'd allow me to put that on profession or something.
Really?
You know, I guess not. So that has afforded me a wonderful position, because I am and I am not the thing that I desire to be. I have both accomplished my goal and not at all. And that's lovely. And I think a lot of you are artists out there and you might feel the same way. You say, what's this all about? Why don't strangers think I'm smart? And then you catch yourself and you come in here into our Dahlgerian service station space and you think, oh my gosh, I can serve people right in front of me. I can do more for people I know, if I know them. And so we have this more intimate thing, this lovely relationship, where you're not strangers. And if you see me out and you say my name, you know we're friends. And you know maybe other people that have listened and have shown up at Dahlgerian services, you could say to them, Shemp Jive.
Shemp Jive.
And they'll say it back. And so I cherish that. Oh, my goodness. I know what Butchie means about smells, because I don't know if y'all can smell that, but something's just wafted this way. I don't know whether there's a portable potty or John or something, but I think it's lovely. Some people would be bothered and say, I'm in this beautiful, serene space, I'm meditating, and now I smell poo. But I laugh as a Dalgarian, because there is a poo is incense too, and if you smell it, you deal with it, and you're forced to confront the realities of this world, that some of it smells sour and stinky. And you gotta understand that, and it goes into you. Now, you don't have to gravitate towards the stink. You don't have to like the stink, but you have to accept it. There is a Japanese food that I'm awfully fond of. I can't eat any right now because I'm prepping for a colonoscopy, but it's natto. And natto is a fermented soybean situation, and this is how you eat it. So you get it, I get it, at least in these little white styrofoam thingies, little tray. And you open up the tray and you take off this little cellophane topper, and there's a little thing of mustard and a little thing of soy sauce, and you put them in, and then you take your chopsticks and you whip it. You whip, stir it real fast. And as you start whip it, it starts to froth up and thicken. And starts to get a little kind of lighter, whiter. And it makes these stringy, mucusy things. And it looks sort of disgusting to some people. You go, oh, what is that? That's grotesque. Is that garmanbosia? And it smells like feet. It smells like bacteria a little bit. So it smells like some stinky cheese. And I don't know why. But I love it. But there's something about the soy sauce and the mustard, too, that complements it. And you say, is there something that I can add to stink that makes it a delicacy? And not the poo smell coming from the porta potty. I got to tell you, because I've tried to. Do you ever go to someone's house and they got a bathroom spray? And that doesn't. A good vent fan is better than a bathroom spray. Because you end up saying, oh, that smells like a lilac field that someone took a poop on. That's what everything smells. We're in the forest full of crap. So it comes through and it just mixes, you know. So, but this is not a terribly offensive smell. Like, it's okay to eat natto, where my dog can tell you it's not okay to eat doo-doo. And so, I like sort of being challenged to get past something, especially if you know it's safe. So you say, listen, we're going to do a silly pantomime up here of a time we were embarrassed. Now, none of you are going to volunteer for this, probably. And the person who would, we all have to put our hands over our face and go, oh, no, look who raised his hand, like that. But I think it is very, very important, especially because we love so-and-so, to make our way through it. This has just been my formula for success over the years. Say, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to make a personal relationship with the people that are listening to me and love them, and they'll love me back. And then when I do something embarrassing, they won't be able to say anything. And they'll give me grace. Because they know I'll give them grace. And there's nobody that's, I think, that's had anything to do with coming to our services that hasn't thought, oh, Hardy's going to accept me. Did that sentence come out right? You know I am. What's not to accept? You're in, you know? We don't have now we're dealing with it. But you're going to see something about our relentlessness, our excuse to be together, that it's flexible, that we have to change it to entertain ourselves. Oh, sometimes I'll be on this microphone and I will be saying things that I think maybe tender hearts need to hear. And maybe that's not entertaining. Maybe there's people that would like to turn in for some well-crafted silliness or some audio art,
And here I am droning on about how we need one another. And my gosh, that's all you hear nowadays is how we should love one another. No, it isn't. In fact, I feel vindicated in many ways because I thought maybe I'm giving away something that is out there in abundance. And now I realize, oh my goodness, I might have the last hot dog cart. There might not be any. Something that was ubiquitous, this might be the last one. And I might be the only one reaching out to you saying, you're all right, my gosh. It's not you. It's like they say on The Simpsons, it's the children who are wrong. No, we need you. Here's a place where you're needed. And it isn't really a misfit club because a lot of people in it are misfits. But there's misfits in it. And there's fit-fits. And there's unfits. And there's a couple people named Fitz. Because that's, I guess they're Irish. And, none of it. There's come somebody named Fitzgerald who's like, I'm gonna open a shoe store. And you know, Fitz, don't. I go, yeah. What's he gonna call it? Don't say it. Don't say it. The shoe. Don't say it, Fitz. So, listen to me. Oh, you don't have to listen. Isn't that wonderful? That's liberating, isn't it? My goodness. I often thought when I was watching some, I went through a period, and I was not a child, where I was watching lots of children's shows, mainly children's shows intended for pre-verbal children. And I'd love whatever the Japanese equivalent, as I'm trying to learn some. So I'd love whatever the Teletubbies are in Japan, is what I need. And whatever Tinky Winky probably have the same name. Tinky Winky. I think I could do that in hiragana right now. Write it out. I love it. Hiragana and katakana are like some code we made up in school to pass notes. It's all phonetic. I can do it. I wish if the kanji for Hardy White is just, it looks like a surprised face. No, there isn't. Oh, bless you. I wish. I am here, though, to be with you consistently. And I think that if every week was the same, then every week would be the same. And you show up, and sometimes you find gold, and sometimes you find dirt, and I've always described it that way. Because a friend once described it that way. He said, yes, it's like mining for emeralds in North Carolina. When you go to those places and they give you a little pan and it's like, look for an emerald. And you dig through all this stuff and finally you might find a little, shard of an emerald in a gray rock. And my friend said, that's the funny in your show full of mud. And I thought, that's great. And he goes, no, but it's worth it. It's an emerald. I go, okay. I think that's a compliment. It's not. It's not either a compliment nor an insult. It's the truth. And the older I get, the more I gravitate towards that. And say, give me the truth. And I can spin it whichever way I want it, depending what my mood is. Feeling down on myself, it's an insult. Feeling good about myself, it's a compliment. But it's still just at the end of the day, the truth. Oh, I don't mind it at all. Do my feelings get hurt? Oh, yes. Especially if somebody sets out to hurt them. That's the most effective kind. Sometimes they get hurt by accident. Mostly it's people say, I'm now going to go hurt Hardy. It doesn't happen very often. But when it does, it usually works. It's like saying, I'm going to go down to the subway station and I'm just going to slap some sucker. Just whoever, going to slap him. Do you think it'll do anything? Yeah, I think, maybe cry. Who knows? Maybe hit you back. It's hard to know. But yes, you'll definitely, the smallest of us, the weakest, the most ineffectual, still has the power to ruin days, if not lives. And the more that people feel powerless and fearful, the more they want to exercise that power to see if they've got it in them. And then they get some heady delight. They go, oh my gosh,
I can ruin days like lots of people's days. I can hurt so many, hundreds, thousands. I must be some sort of God. And it just gets you get carried away with the hurting. Now, if you want to bring joy, good luck. That's a little bit harder. Now, people manage to do it and do it for millions. Like, I'm thinking of somebody like, not millions, but like, what's her name? Trixie Fergans or something. I don't know. Roy Smek. I can't think of any modern. Who's a modern entertainer? A singer or something? I don't know. I don't know any of the new acts or anything. But, yeah, they can do it with their record albums or something like that. And we're all listening to it and feeling joy and dancing the Moochie Moochie or whatever's the big trend and feeling great from it. And then you don't need to do any hurting and harm there. So I guess, hey, y'all, get out your synthesizers. Make a huge, big pop dance hit right now. No, you don't have to do that. But if you wanted to, we have in our small community, this is a sort of way of doing those things. And you say, well, it's a smaller scale. But you just go, no, you're still doing it for 100% of the people. So it doesn't matter how many of those people. And my gosh, strangers. You know, what if you had to meet them all? I always think that about actors and entertainers say, oh, I want to be loved, adored, famous. You should have to meet all of them. So when someone yells my name in a train station, I run towards them. I wonder if like celebrities, like actors do that. Say, well, somebody said my name. Hey, somebody yelled Seth Rogen. I don't mean to pick on him. I can't think of anybody. And I don't know why his name popped up. I guess because I was just on an airplane and that's where I mainly see his work. So when you're called, run towards them. If it's a stranger, you don't know who likes your work, right? You don't know who's yelling. I'm trying to think of somebody. Oh, I saw Peter Drinkage. I know that's not his name, but I forget it. And in Brooklyn Heights one time, minding his business, walking his child. And I was just looking or moving my head, and I saw him, and I didn't stare or anything. I still felt bad, and I certainly didn't yell his name. And if I did, he would have shot me, I think, because that's a person who's so famous, they can't abide by anybody. They don't need friends. You're not their friend. What they need you to do is buy their television series or movie. Now, our relationship is different because this is a Dalgarian service station, isn't it, Shemp Jive?
Shemp Jive!
So there's nothing to, I'm not, I don't want you to buy anything. I just want you to yell my name when you see me. And I'll yell yours. So many of you I know. Oh, bless you. I really want to name your names like it's Romper Room. The other day, I can't remember what it was, but I was talking to a family member and I said, one of my listeners said this, that, or the other thing. And I says, Dale. And they went, oh, yeah, Dale. Because there's somebody who's been listening so long, I feel like they're family I don't see. Well, I probably talk to that person more than I do my cousins, which is not at all. So I don't mean to, it's nothing special, I guess, because I talk to my cousins at all. Not a one. I gave that up. Why? Well, I'll tell you, because you have to know where your group is. And you can't let yourself get split apart by people that aren't in your life. You have to find those people that you're going to see, going to be with, or going to affect.
Community.
I hate to say that, because it's not that, really. I don't know. It's not necessarily community. I don't see y'all. I don't live next door to y'all. And I guess we have Jersey City in common. And I love that
what is it, Second Street Bakery or whatever. We can all bond over that. But I, my gosh, our thing that we have, our camp, what's a good, this thing of ours. I wish I could say it in Italian. Is really very special. And it has developed over time. And we're getting new people all the time. People come and they go just like they do in real life. And this is real life. This is as real as it gets, my friends. And if you say, I wish that I was like some of my religious friends who can cling to their arbitrary, strange beliefs in times that are challenging, and they don't feel that existential dread the way I do, I say, I give you something to cling to, and it's so ephemeral, it's not going to weigh you down. You don't have to wear it. There are no symbols. There's nothing. There's not even a secret handshake. We got a handful of words that we say to each other to identify one another, and that's it. And everything else is negotiable, and everything else is the product of our time together. Just like in your friend group where you start to get what you call traditions. You know, you might go to a place one time, have a good time there, say, you know, we're going to go back to Ocean City. It was amazing. We went to Ocean City and we had that most amazing, and you keep going back and it's just terrible every single time, but you keep doing it because now it's just a thing you do. And then 1 year, 7 years in, it's great again. You know, or you need one another. You know, hey, one of the Ocean City ragamuffins needs us. You always have some kind of, giving it some name you regret. You know, you get those Christmas cards. Ragamuffin reunion. You know, why did we call it that? You know, can we change it? It's been 10 years. We can't change it. All right. And y'all know, you're all looking at me. I think it's great. Have you ever stayed in an Atlanta hotel when there's more than one family reunion and everybody has t-shirts on, different colors with pictures of the grandma and grandpa? I love that. Some of my best memories, I'd be visiting relatives in Atlanta who I didn't want to stay with, and I'd stay at a hotel near the perimeter or something, and there's always been multiple family reunions, and it's just... I always wanted to like steal a shirt and just go with them because it's all these, the only thing that bonds them is this old couple on the t-shirt. Sometimes they're dead, sometimes they're not dead, but that's it. And they may not have anything else in common except these shared experiences, but they hold you together. And then you can help your cousin who you don't really like. You know, why don't you like them? I don't know. It could be sometimes it's just maybe like natto. It's just an odor. See, I don't know. We never really clicked. You know, it was just there's something. It popped, a smell or something. But no, we're just personalities. We didn't get along. I don't remember that. But you'd still, if that person was to help you out in the hospital or something and bring you something you need, that'd be fine. And you start tearing up. You go, oh, man, I barely like old cousin Jake. And there he is bringing me something I need. Because the thing that holds us together is stronger than our judgment. The thing that holds us together is stronger than our prejudices. The thing that holds us together is stronger than our pride and our fear and our embarrassment. The thing that holds us together is the knowledge that we are here together. And there is no surviving without one another. And that a world with compassion and love and caring and grace is better than the violence of man to man. Oh, you human volcanoes. I applaud you that you have found your power. And you understand now that you can destroy the whole world if you want. Any one person could, if they wanted to badly enough and tried hard long enough. But good Lord, why would they want to? Why would you want to bring suffering? Well, the only way to combat that is to... any suggestions? Again,
I don't know if the toaster pastries would help, but I'm going to definitely bring... And not, I'm not going to buy a flavor I don't like. It's not that. I mean, I know I could see that happening where someone says, gosh, I bought the generic brand, or I got, these don't have frosting, or these have frosting, and so I'm going to put them on the altar. But no, I'm going to go ahead and get the ones I like.
Oh, that's great. You know, I did, I was in Kampura, and Kampura, I'm trying not to say the U's, in Japan, and that is where Ozu is buried, and I told you I didn't go there, but I know there's lots of sake that people leave there on his grave, and I wonder if they leave cigarettes, because pretty much cigarettes and sake killed him. Very heavy drinker. Very, very heavy. And heavy smoker. And, I mean, I'm no doctor. Who knows what really kills people? But I know that doesn't help. And he died too young, in my estimation. And so, he died right before I was born. Isn't that something? He died 3 weeks before I was born. Is that long enough to be reincarnated? I'm definitely not he. Oh my goodness, no. No one's ever been me. And no one will ever be me again. And no one will ever be you again, probably. And I'm so blessed to be here to see this single blooming of a rare flower. Because that's what you are. It's like we've gone into the forest. And this plant is just going to bloom once. And either we smell it then, either we listen to the smell, or we don't. But if you do, it's a once in a lifetime. Every lifetime is a once in a lifetime event. And so I want to be here and smell you all just the way you're smelling me now, just the way that you are listening to the smells. I love it that we're outside, because I can smell all the good things and all the weird things. Did someone mulch? Because that's always, they say, oh, mate, is that horse poo or what is it? And it really is nice to smell things in a slight state of decay. I mean, some of the most precious resinous woods, the woods that sink, that we use for incense. There's a rotting quality to some of them, or some of them have been buried in the dirt and able to start that process. Pu'er tea, you know? It's really beautiful to appreciate the temporary nature of a thing and to experience it in its decline as well as its blossoming. And you have been here for the blossoming of this show, and you'll be here as it slowly rots and gives a different kind of smell. Oh, and it's always unpredictable. Is it always unpredictable? Am I always unpredictable? Are we always unpredictable? I hope so. Because how can I predict how you will affect me? And I will affect you. So we just keep putting it out there for one another. And I try to make you to entertain you and love you the best I can, and tell as many jokes about being embarrassed, which is my favorite thing. Just wonderfully mortifying experiences, like going to a school in Fukushima City. You got to take your shoes off. They have special shoes just for school, and the students, they have a special pair of sneakers. So they take one set of sneakers off. This is all based on, you're saying Japanese schools are based on Mr. Rogers? Totally Mr. Rogers. So they take out their outside shoes, put it in a locker, put on their inside shoes. Well, if you're a guest, you don't have no inside shoes. So they give you a delicate little pair of slippers designed for a foot half my size. And so I put on these little pair of green and gold slippers, and I had to shuffle in them like a geisha. And I shuffled all around, and I shuffled into a classroom of students learning English, and I stood before them, and they asked questions,
And I said, oh, fried chicken is my favorite food, which it isn't. But I just thought that'd be a good answer. And I was embarrassed, and they were embarrassed, and I met teachers, and I felt awkward and didn't know what to say. And I loved it. It was humans coming together. And it always feels a little bit strange, but the vibe was good, you know? The vibe was non-threatening. You don't have to be loved or hated. You can just be, have someone fascinated by you. And it's just, it's wonderful. And you're fascinated by them. And maybe affection grows over time and familiarity. So we meet one another, and this has happened to me. I say, oh, I just met the most eccentric person that listens to my show. And they're going off telling somebody, I just met a really very eccentric weirdo who does a show. Oh, what's his show? Miracle and Trisha. I'm like, I don't know what she's saying. I haven't heard of him. And so, well, maybe it didn't happen. That's what I always think. I hope you feel that way sometimes. Maybe I didn't hear that. Maybe that really didn't happen. Another thing that I wanted to say to you as we bring the service to an end is that the notion of things being hidden so that we can protect them. In these times where it seems like the robots are getting all the information and they know everything and they have things, there is a way to embed ideas and thoughts in so much subterfuge that the robots can't penetrate it. In fact, human beings who don't have the disposition can't penetrate it, and you would see that if you were to ego surf, if you were me, and you were looking and say, I wonder what people think about my show. And overwhelmingly, they'll say something like, I listened to it once and didn't get it, didn't like it, didn't get it, and then one time I was listening to it, and it came together. And I know what happened, is they made it past the 20-25 minute point. Because there are inner chambers, and there are outer chambers. And there are so many outer chambers because the thing that we're protecting needs protecting in the inner chamber, and that's Shemp Jive. And the robots will never know what it is. And only you and I will know what it is. And it's something that can't be taken from us. And we can talk about the world, and we can talk about problems, and we'll never be discovered. Because we know the subtle ways. We know what patience and devotion over time. We understand time. We're sort of like time lords. It reminds me of my song, calling Doctor Who, Doctor Who, Time Lord, calling Doctor Who, Doctor Who, Time Lord, like that. It's on my album. I hope you have it. I wish it was on thick vinyl. No, I don't really. But no, do I? Maybe I do. Oh my goodness, everybody's welcome to put something in the gift shop. You know that, right? You don't have to just. I'm gonna put paper crap. Yeah, all right. And say it's sacred. All right, that's good. That's fine. Fold some sacred paper crap. And that would be great. And you can sell it. Or you can give it away, like I'm doing. Oh, I just want it because it's infected. That's what I'm giving away, because it's infected with good things, though. Oh, I want to make my way into your heart. The way it was, maybe not when you were a child, but, you know, earlier today when you went, yeah, maybe everything's okay. Like that. We want to get that back and say, let's know when we found a good smell. You should go on a smell about, you know, and go and make a smell map. Walk around the city, and not everything is, and get over the fact that you go, oh, it stinks, smells like vomit or urine or smoke. Get over that and just describe those smells in your smell map, your smell journal, in a more poetic way. And think about what they mean. You know, what's it mean to smell pee-pee in the street? It means somebody pee-peed in the street. That's a lot of people, probably, for that to happen. And you know, what are you really smelling? Oh, you're disgusting me. Yeah, but also, there's a bakery right around the corner.
And now you're smelling fresh baked bread. And exhaust. And flowers. And chemical cleaner. And the list goes on. Tires. Bulgari Black, right? The fragrance. Didn't it have a tire note? I think it did. It was supposed to, a rubber tire note, because it was going to be a city. It's a city smell. It's discontinued, I think. Great, great fragrance. You can't keep things in bottles forever. That's the thing about fragrances. Let's say they make a good batch. You smell it. You go, you know, this doesn't smell like the previous batch. It never will again. And that stays with you. And you've been there. Oh, I'm so blessed right now. I'm feeling fully thankful for you. And I'm also about to have to fast for a colonoscopy. So I just looked at a chart to show the different shades that your runny diarrhea should be before you know it's okay. And, you know, if it's brown, you're not down. If it's clear, you're clear or something. I don't know. I know there's a rhyme. So I'm a little, you know, as you're hearing this, I'm already dead or done with it. So that's wonderful. And it's done with. But that's the weird thing about time, is I'm both done and not done at the same time. I'm here and I'm not here. Isn't that lovely? You can still smell me. You know, like when someone's passed, I can still smell them on their pillow. Oh, God. Is that good or bad? Right? Is that a good thing? Is that a beautiful thing or a tragic thing? That's the one when people say that. I have overwhelming feelings of sadness and grief. But at the same time, sometimes people say it in a comforting way. I can still smell that person. They're gone, but I can still smell him.
That's the way I feel about Stinky Pete.
Yeah, but Stinky Pete's not dead.
Yeah, but he's not here.
Yeah, I guess so.
But he lingers in my nostrils.
He does. Sometimes he does. I hope I'm not Stinky Pete for you. I can smell that hearty white coming through the microphone. And, you know, I haven't, most radio stations spray something on the mics, but occasionally you'll get a windscreen that hasn't been properly disinfected, and there'd be an odor going on. I remember one time when I was young, I was a clown for a miniature golf course, and I wasn't the only one. I was just one shift. And so we would share a foam nose. And I kept trying to tell them, this is not cool, or hygienic, or anything. And basically, you just had to smell the person that had it on before you. It was all like encrusted with, what do you call it, spirit gum or something that you used to glue it on. So it just looked like it was a snot-covered foam ball, the type of magicians, you know, was this in your ear? That kind of thing. I'm putting it under a cup, but really I'm smushing it in my hand. That kind of ball, but it was a clown nose. Can you guess which cup it's under? I'm putting my nose under one of the cups. That'd be horrifying. What if you were like Tycho Brahe or something? So I'm taking my nose off and putting it under one of these cups. Find it. And you couldn't find it because you're staring at the place where his nose used to be. Tycho had a fake nose. I think school, that's all I learned in school. No way. So if we were studying a historical figure and they said something like, you know, and he had a leg made out of whalebone, that's all I'd hear. And I don't want to know what he did or anything like that. But, so just stuff that a kid would like, because the kid me is still there, all mixed up with old man me. Just wonderful. I'm glad that the universe made me this way, that I didn't have to shed any skins, that I just keep, skin keeps getting bigger or something. I don't know. It's not like a cicada. I don't come out of my shell. Oh, I am
thankful to be here with you. And unlike the cicada, I emerge every week. And you are here to greet me and to crunch me on the sidewalk or whatever you want to do. And I am so blessed that we can be together. I do have an announcement to make. We will be meeting again inside next week. This is not a permanent outside Dalgarian shrine. We don't want any permanent structures like that because, you know, they can be destroyed. So we have these things are inside ourselves and they go wherever we go. So do not show up at the exact same place next week. Make sure that you know where we're going to be and then go there. So that's the only announcement. I thought maybe I got you scared and you thought, you know, friends, I have something to tell you, but I don't. And except I guess I love you and I want your life to be good and peaceful and find justice. You shall pursue. I said it twice because that's how nice the justice is for us. And it's all in there. We don't have to, we can quote whatever book we want to describe the things that we value. And so sometimes I describe Don Quixote, and sometimes I use other books and magazines and comic books, which are great. So you are listening to Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White on WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope 91.9 in Rockland County, and online at WFMU.org worldwide. Thank you for listening, and I'll see you again next week.
all the ladies of the world, I'm Money Ray, and I'm proud to say that tall, dark, and handsome, we are all lovers. And if you have any doubts in your mind, just give us a chance, and I know we can work it out.
I know we can make it. I know darn well
that we can work it out.
I know we can make it. I know darn well
that we can work it out.
Now she's wise with healthy thighs. Mom can't get over those bedroom eyes. She's so fly, every man will try to make a nature rise up. The girls despise her. She's the queen and nothing less. When she's pumping, I'm jumping at her request. Yes, and I'll admit this much is true. I have a crush on you and my name is Boo. Oh, you got me yearning, tossing and turning in for that fire that keeps my heart burning in. I'll never place no one above you. Give you what you want just because I love you, girl. You look puzzled and quite mysterious because you don't think Boo is really serious. I know it's gonna take more than a letter for you to get to know me, Boo, a little better. But I'll take time, girl, if you feel that it's no fraud. My love for you's for real. All jokes aside, all I need is a chance to dance in your heart with a touch of romance. You'll be my bride and I'll be your groom. Girl, my name is Boo Love, Boo Love, and this is my love tune.